This is Ouija Boards and Midnight Marks, where a spirit board conversation sparked our spiritual evolution. I'm Shale.
And I'm Cheyenne. And each week, we explore a world where there is much more than meets the eye. So pour yourself a drink and join us as we cheers to a witchin' good time. Welcome back, Ouija babies.
The finale.
How did we get here? What a weird, strange
blood,
trip.
Sweat, and tears.
What a long, strange trip season three has been. But we made it. We did it. We did six more episodes than our first season.
Which is amazing.
That's a crazy amount.
And you can't say
learned.
It was definitely you that did the extra six episodes. But I appreciate moving me into that.
Yeah, no, it counts. It all counts.
I was like, I'm still doing the bare minimum. Thank you very much.
It was amazing. It was so fun. I loved it. Even if I should have planned it a little bit better.
We learn lessons every episode. Every episode, but also every season.
To be fair, we definitely started this season real hella strong. And we've had some incredible guests the entire time. So they've been the reason.
Thank you, guests, for keeping us going.
Yes. Because you've been fabulous. We've learned so much. We've met so many cool people. I know I've been looking forward to rapping and having a little bit of a break, but now that we're here, I'm sad about it.
I know. I feel like that always happens, right? You're ready for the next chapter, but then when you get to the end of the chapter, you're like, but wait, it's over.
But wait.
Am I really ready for it to be over?
Yes. Telluride is trying to attack my earbuds. Pause, please. Except we're not going to pause.
Get him.
Because friends, this is a morning brew and I'm not going to edit it. We're just going to send this finale live and unfiltered out into the universe. So you can really feel like you're having coffee with Shale and I on this sunny Sunday morning.
Also, as much of a shiznit show that season three has been, this is our only morning brew of the season. And we did it not because it's a true morning brew, but because we're we're going to record in the morning and have coffee and we'll pretend it's a morning brew and then celebrate the fact that we haven't done a morning brew.
Yes. Celebrate all of your wins all the time. Shameless self-promotion always.
Mm-hmm.
We are not living small anymore. What are you drinking while I shuffle these cards?
I'm drinking coffee.
Hey, look, me too.
Do you have any special additions to your coffee?
Nah, she's just a regular old latte today.
Ooh, that's still fancy though.
That's true.
Mine's just drip coffee from a machine with creamer put in it.
That's basically all mine is too. I just had to use the machine to do a couple of different steps.
That is true.
Coffee makers are great evidence that we can't live without robot assistants.
Why did that just give me a sinking feeling in my gut when you said that?
I didn't mean for that to be creepy and morbid, especially
why
because
did that freak me out so bad?
We can make coffee without it. It's fine. French press coffee is amazing. Pour over coffee is great. But being able to press a button and have the coffee just happen is a special kind of magic.
That's the true thing right there, is that the convenience is what gets us, right? Ah, three of cups. Are you serious?
Three of cups hopped out of the deck, I think, to end us the way we started. With love and friendship and community and all that good shit. I think we've drawn three of cups more than once this season.
Didn't we draw a Jeremy too?
I think we did. And probably, yeah, I'll have to go back and listen to them. But I believe this was also the one we drew for the new year.
Oh, really?
I feel like this was the one we drew with Gina. Maybe it wasn't. I'll have to go back and listen. Fact check me later. Nobody.
Yeah, please don't. Just believe what we say at all times.
It's no not worth the effort, I promise. Actually, it is worth the effort because you're listening to our old episodes, which are great. I just mean like answering that question for me is not worth the effort. You should absolutely go re-listen to the astrology of the new year episode because we talked about the whole damn year and we're like nearly a third of the way through it. So it's good to revisit those.
What even is time? How are we a third of the way through the year?
What is life? So the Three of Cups embodies the vibrant, loving atmosphere of true friendship. The three reminds us, excuse me, to take time to be joyous, to celebrate, and to show gratitude to the wonderful people who bring love and happiness into our life. Three festively painted teacups sit stacked upon each other. The calm quiet remains of a joyful gathering of friends. Each cup is unique in its ornamentation, but they complement each other quite well. A large purple rose sits in the foreground. The rose is in its fullest bloom, symbolizing mature, healthy, vibrant friendship. Two candles in the background have been burning for a while, but have plenty of time remaining to burn. Take time to enjoy yourself and the wonderful people around you. Go out and celebrate. Dance, laugh, and be happy. Show gratitude to the many wonderful friends and family members in your life.
No.
Cutest. The cutest one.
It is. It's my favorite. It's our theme card, and I love that.
It really is. It truly embodies the why of this podcast existing.
Absolutely. So what are we doing today?
We're playing a drinking game.
Oh, really? I didn't realize it was a drinking game.
This is Ouija Boards and Midnight Marks. We're just drinking our coffees as we ask these questions. I didn't really know how to describe it. I panicked in the moment. We're asking each other unscripted, not shared previously questions of a spooky ilk.
Ooh, I like that. Mark. Ilk. That's a good ilk. Word. Lady Ox Library coming in hot with her words.
My thesaurus. If I was a dinosaur, I'd be a thesaurus.
Is ilk an adjective?
Oh, don't ask me like grammatical questions before the coffee.
Spooky ilk.
Yeah, like nature. Nature would be a synonym of ilk. So it's a.
Or would it be a noun in this?
It's a noun. It's a noun in this context. Mm.
Your OBMM anyway. Grammar lesson coming at you this morning. You're welcome.
I am drinking out of my Kiss the Librarian mug. Any hoodle, why don't you start us off? Ask me a question, any question.
Ooh, okay. So this is kind of fun because we're bringing the Halloween feels to early spring. Even though there's no Halloween related questions on my list, as I say that, but they're all spooky themed.
That's okay. Because I kind of figured some of mine and some of yours might just happen in the moment organically too.
Yeah, absolutely. So some of these I did Google for inspiration, but this one I did not because it's Lady Ox Library themed. And quick shout out, if you have not followed the Lady Ox the Lady Ox Library on Instagram, do it now because it's the cutest space ever and it's Cheyenne's newest baby. Thanks, and you should support her at all costs or I will fight you.
Anyway. Thank you. Also, it will probably be the future home of Literary Witch Book Coven in a more long-term off-season context so that I don't overwork myself the way I have in the past.
Because we are all about balance here. But anyway, balance. In Lady Ox Library fashion, what is your favorite spooky book? And a follow-up question to that is, what is your favorite spooky author? Because they may not be the same.
Mm. Yes. This is a good question. The answers are not the same. My favorite spooky author is Daddy King, naturally.
Ooh. That's a good one. Good classic.
And I'm giving him that one because my favorite spooky book is like a one-off. It's its own thing.
Okay.
But Stephen King, I saw somebody on Instagram with a Stephen King library, like, I don't know how many books this man has written. I keep looking over here because
I have them right here. I think it was only like 10, but the dude's written like 50.
I think it might be hundreds.
Wait, really? Okay, hold on. As you're answering this question, I'm going to Google it because I need to know.
Yes, please. It's crazy. My favorite spooky book is Frankenstein.
Oh, by Mary Shelley. I love that.
Or also Jaws. I think Jaws counts as a spooky book. I'm a fan of monsters, clearly. I like things that are obviously, hopefully, not going to come eat me. Or in the case of Jaws, I like the psychological thriller aspect. But I actually love sharks so much. Don't hate on sharks.
Sharks, I just misunderstood.
Totes. But that's a fantastic example of just horror and suspense writing of the highest degree. So. Do you have a favorite spooky book? I feel like we should answer both sides.
So first of all, I have to make a confession because I didn't know this until your episode on When Walls Can Talk with Jeremy, where you were asking questions and you said that Jaws was a book. And I was like, I had no idea it was a book.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
And anyway, it's very different. Yes. My favorite book. So my book and author are also different. So my favorite book is also by Stephen King. I love Pet Sematary. It's a classic. It's so good. I think the runner up to that is actually The Bird Box by Josh. I think it's Mailerman is his last name. But yeah, that book, like it I read it while I was in New Orleans and it like reinvigorated my love of reading spooky stories. The movie was terrible. Sorry, Sandra Bullock. I love you. But I don't know how you make a book like that a movie. Because the whole premise behind it is like not being able to see and being able to describe that in words is so much easier. But that book is super good. But my favorite author is Jennifer McMahon, I think is how you say your last name. She writes these books. She's not super well known, but I've come to be like a super fan of her. And her books are always based in Vermont or like New England-y type feels.
Yeah.
And they have like that classic like ghost story haunted house feel to them. And they're just these cozy fall autumn spooky stories that I just love. And if you haven't read The Winter People, you have to. That one's so good.
Oh, okay. I'll add that one to my list. Need to keep the spooky season vibes all year long, man.
Absolutely. And also Stephen King has written 64 novels according to Wikipedia. So 64 novels and 200 short stories.
Ah, okay. That checks out.
Yeah.
But also like some of them are inches thick.
Yeah, like it is thousands of pages. It's
like word count wise, he probably wins.
Absolutely.
Okay, my first spooky question is inspired by our episode with Wormwood and Witches.
Okay, I'm like, this could go a lot of different directions already.
It could. If you were a haunted eBay item.
Oh, that's a good question.
What would you be?
Fudge.
This one came to me in the bath this morning. I felt quite inspired.
Oh, it's so good. I don't know why the first thing that popped in my head was charcuterie board. Because I'm like, I hardly ever do charcuterie boards, so that like wouldn't make sense. But this is like, what would you find on Etsy or on eBay? You know what I think I would be? I think I would be one of those like Cameo lockets.
That's my answer.
No, it's not.
Truly. I'm not a Cameo locket. Mine is like a heavy heart-shaped silver, like hella filigreed locket with a black and white photo of a woman who nobody can identify inside of it.
Oh my gosh, that was super specific. But that's really awesome that we both came to the same conclusion.
Three of Cups, witches.
I've always loved Cameos. I just think there's something antique and vintage and Victorian about them, and you just feel spooky looking at them, you know.
So good. That's fabulous.
That but it would really it would have like a spooky perfume associated with it. Like I don't really wear perfume, but in this case, if I was an eBay item, when you'd open it, it would have that like ambiance of like an old Victorian perfume. That would be it.
That's cool.
That was a brilliant question.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I want people to tell us on Instagram what haunted eBay item they would be.
I would obviously go for like thousands of dollars though. Like all out bidding war.
Everyone would want it.
Yeah.
It would be the subject of like a Netflix documentary series of like, who is the woman in the locket?
Stay humble. Stay humble, peeps. That's what we're all about here. Great. Okay, I found this question on Google and it was so funny that I just had to ask it to you verbatim.
Oh God, okay.
Like, I love it. Would you rather get a foot massage from the monster under your bed or dance the tango with the monster in your closet?
That's amazing. I would absolutely rather dance the tango with the monster in my closet. My feet are crazy ticklish.
Fair.
And like even pedicures take like a significant amount of like mental and physical preparation. So I don't trust what's living under. To be fair though, what lives under my bed is Willie. And she probably wouldn't give a good foot massage anyway.
I'm kind of like, if you're going to be under there and you're going to like grab my feet anyway, you might as well like make it useful.
That's a valid answer for sure. That's totally fair.
And then I don't have to fear like, you know, my feet being out of the blankets when it's too hot.
Oh, it's just an invitation to have your feet rubbed.
Yeah, it's like, do your job, monster.
It's like, hello, I am ready. That's hilarious. Okay, I have kind of a similar one.
Okay.
If your house was haunted, your house is haunted, statement.
I don't claim that energy.
No, but you get to create this ghost.
Okay.
What does your haunted house ghost, like what's your haunted house ghost known for? What's their vibe?
Ooh. That's a good question because at the same time, like I obviously have to live with this ghost, so I can't make them like too scary.
Yes. You don't have to make them scary at all. But
I mean, that's a good point. Just because it's a ghost doesn't mean they have to be scary.
And like, what room do they reside in? Like, where do they hang out? Like their energy hangs out in a specific place, if that helps you.
Yeah. I think I want them to just be like, just like slightly mischievous because then it can entertain me as well. And I think it'd be funny if my ghost is just known for like, you're just sitting at the table, we're sitting having coffee, chatting, and it just comes and like taps you on the shoulder.
Yeah.
And then you'll look one direction. Yeah. And you'll like look one direction and then it comes back and like taps you on the other shoulder just twice. Just so you're like, okay, am I going crazy? Because I know I felt that, but then it never does it again.
That's great.
Until you come back the next time.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Just slightly mischievous. What would yours be? I need to know how you create your Sims ghost.
Well, I know this is creepy because this is actually something I'm usually afraid of. But I think I would want mine to live in my mirror so that we could.
That's actually very interesting to me.
So that we could have face-to-face convos. But
oh, like Moaning Myrtle.
Well, maybe not her vibe.
Yeah. But she hates the bathroom.
No, okay. Like Dita Von Teese's ghost in Curious Creations of Christine McConnell, who hangs out in the mirror and like advises her on boys and her outfits.
That's fair.
But also, I love that. You just turn around and she's in, like, it would still freak me out that she was in the mirror.
Right.
So that's my combination of like the scary I can handle.
Yeah.
But when you're like, oh shit, okay, yeah, it's you. And she's like, dude, your hair looks fucking weird. Like, that's the kind of ghost I want.
He's just that bathroom. Brutally honest friend before you leave the house.
Yeah. And I also feel like bathrooms are notorious. Why does all the scary shit happen in the bathroom?
Because it's where you're most vulnerable.
But that just makes the most sense for, like, just live in the bathroom, fine. We'll just play into every ghost stereotype.
I feel that. So you're just, like, coming to terms with it.
Yeah, by having acceptance.
Okay, I like that. Also, I was watching Christine McConnell the other day with her newest video on YouTube where she's, like, hand-freaking drawing Victorian wallpaper. And I'm like, what deal did you make at a crossroads somewhere where you're this talented?
Yeah.
Like, she can do anything. Kind of DIY thing you can think of, she does it, but she does it in, like, the most phenomenal way.
Yeah. It's crazy. She's fabulous.
And she's like the most humble person you've ever seen too. She's just like, yeah, you know,
she's so nice
drawing this. I just made a freaking entire Winchester mansion out of gingerbread. Just because I felt like it.
She's magic.
I wish she would adopt me.
Can we manifest her as a guest on the podcast?
Oh my God. I don't think I'd be able to talk to her. I would be like so starstruck. I'd be like, I don't feel like worthy of being in your presence.
Yeah. That's fair too. I think sometimes the reason you don't want to meet your heroes is not because your heroes will disappoint you, but because you will have just the most absurd, awkward reaction and disappoint yourself.
Yes, that is a valid fear. So that's a good segue into our next question. And yes. Actually, the mirrors actually kind of are Ooh. What is the mirror concept is like what actually inspired this question.
Okay.
But is there a form of divination that you are afraid to do?
Ooh.
Not that it's like not advised necessarily, because I think there's obvious ones, but is there something that you just like, something just freaks you out when you think about doing it?
Gosh, I don't. So my answer to this question is maybe weird, but no, as long as I'm doing it with somebody else.
That's fair.
Like, I don't think I would pull out a Ouija board alone, probably.
Right.
Like, it just, because I work myself up pretty quickly emotionally anyway. But like things like tarot or like pendulums, like that's all really easy and accessible and doesn't have like a creep element to it. I don't know. What about you?
So I've always wanted to try it, but it doesn't mean it doesn't freak me out. But I really would like to get into scrying. But there's something about it. And I think it's because of things like Bloody Mary, because that was so prevalent when we were kids.
Yeah.
But like the idea of seeing visions or messages in a dark mirror really creeps me out.
Yeah, interesting. See, I would
I feel
be
like that's
likely,
one of those you have
I would be
to
more
do
likely
alone.
To scry. Yeah, see, that on my own doesn't actually bother me that much. There's something about
really?
That intimacy, but I have this, like, I really enjoy like meditating over water. And it's like that same kind of vibe. And I like looking for things or like looking for things in cloud. It would probably scare me if something actually happened. Like if yeah. I, but there's something about it that I think like conceptually, because it feels more intimate with spirit maybe, as opposed to like you're moving an inanimate object.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It feels like less possessive and just more like active and intentional.
Yeah, I think like what freaks me out about scrying is that there is just such an element of the unknown, and there's almost like that vulnerability of like mirrors are just so known for being a portal to whatever.
Totally.
That I feel like there's almost like this sense of like lack of control. Like obviously you would like do all of the protection things you needed to, but the idea of whatever wants to could come through just really wigs me out. Cause like if there's something super creepy that comes up in there, like I'm not gonna be able to survive that. I'm gonna be traumatized.
Oh, no, I mean, that's very fair. I'm taking a very rose colored glasses of the types of yeah. beings that would hang out in my scrying mirror.
And I think what's good about scrying too is that it's like most productive in a dark room. So you're in a dark room by yourself looking into a dark mirror, like it just gives yeah. you all the heebie-jeebie vibes, you know?
Yeah, well, now it does.
You're welcome. You're going to ruin divination for all of you.
One day at a time. Good. Okay. You have to spend the night in a haunted, like a known haunted location. Where are you sleeping?
This is such a good question. You know, I've always kind of been curious about the Lizzie Borden house.
Oh, yeah.
Just because there's like such a level of unknown as to what like made her do it. I do believe Lizzie did it. I'm not going to lie. I'm in that boat. But I also feel like she probably had a good reason for why she did it.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of family dynamic that we don't understand. And I'd love to know all of the secrets behind that. And hopefully it would be revealed to me if I stayed there.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good one.
How about you? Where are you staying?
So I have two answers. One of them, I actually think I want to hang out at the Bellwitch house.
Oh, that's a good one.
I feel like that's a level of haunting that I could appreciate. I feel like there's enough like empathy for the spirit that resides there that it would be an okay, terrifying experience.
Yes.
But I also think it would be fun to like stay somewhere like the Denver Botanic Gardens. Overnight,
by yourself there.
Yeah,
that would be fun.
Somewhere that's like visibly very beautiful, but on top of a lot of dead things
that are all vertical. Like, I don't know why that wigs me out so bad.
Oh, it's so creepy, right? Like, that's the house I want to. I'll sleep like in that pond outside that house.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's the other a good place to scry too, because all of the pools are lined with black.
That's a very good point. Very good point. The other place that I think I'd be like intrigued to stay at is the Winchester Mansion.
Oh, totally. That would be a fun one. Except I feel like that's almost the vibe of one of my recurring nightmares as a kid. Like that,
really?
That house. Like it was just like big mansion style, like all sorts of different levels, secret passageways. You could never get out of it. Like it was always the goal to get out of the house and I could never get out. And so I feel like that would maybe be a little too that come to life.
Yeah, it has like very chaotic energy to it, but also it's weird because it feels like when you think about the Winchester Mansion, it feels like one of those places that's so chaotic in its energy, but at the same time feels so controlled.
Yeah.
Because she was like doing things intentionally based on what they asked for, but like also it feels chaotic to us because it's so out of the norm of the world in which we understand, right? But like if you think about multiple dimensions and stuff like that, like it probably makes sense why she put together what she did based on what spirits asked for.
Yeah.
So it's just so fascinating to me.
That would be a fun one.
Also, I'd want to just ask her spirit straight up and be like, so doors to nowhere, explain the metaphor. Like, I just want to know why. All right, is it my turn?
Yes.
What is the weirdest thing that you're superstitious about?
I for a long time used to do the hold your breath passing a graveyard thing. Like that was like such a thing when I was in the fourth grade. And there was like a significant amount of time. But so here's the thing about like superstitions. I now am at the point in my life where I like actively defy. I'm like, step on the crack, walk under the ladder. like I walk under the ladder every time I put one up at work. Like it's just this weird, like I don't rebel in a lot of ways. So I feel like superstition wise, I do, however, always throw salt over my shoulder if I knock it over. That's one that I always do.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do appreciate that energy.
It's like, I don't really think about it.
Yeah, I appreciate the energy. It's like, fuck the man, but like at a universal level.
Feels very low stakes, those particular rebellions.
Yeah.
What about you?
I was raised a country kid. So my thing is, I will legit lose my mind if you put your hat on the bed. Lose my mind about it. Because it's always been said that it's not something bad that happens to you as a result of it, but somebody you care about. And so I even have like my poor husband trained. I trained him very early. Like I saw his hat on the bed like one time and was like, nope, never again. Never. That is an absolute no-go in this relationship. But yeah, I can't stand it. Like I get like actual heebie-jeebie chills and wig out and panic. I hate it.
Oh my gosh. Wow. That's a good one.
And the other one is, this is actually coming from kind of the emergency response world, but I cannot stand the Q word. And the Q word is if you say something like, it's going to be quiet this weekend. That means you basically just set in motion for an absolute disaster to happen.
Got it. Yeah.
And you can't say it like in our building, like people, like it's not even just me. It's an entire cultural thing in the community. Like if you say it at all, you like lose friends.
Huh.
And somebody did it to, there's this firefighter guy on TikTok. He's like doing the whole video and he's like, yeah, you know, there's this word that people fear. And then he does it. You should have a Q word weekend this weekend. And I was like, bro. And like in the comments, all of them were like, how dare you?
That's amazing. Yeah. Not one that I was familiar with prior to this, but like
the concept either, until I was in the world. Now I'm like, I believe in it.
Yeah. No, the concept of jinx in general is one that I definitely will be aware of. Or I used to have this thing where I was a kid, actually, where I'm like, if I think it, it won't happen. It was like the opposite. So then I would overthink it to death to be like, there's no, I usually did it in terms of like good things where I'd be like, oh no, don't think of that. Because if you think of it, it won't happen. It was like reverse jinxing.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was weird.
I could see how that works. It's still kind of like manifestation in a way.
It was like a probability of law kind of thing where I was like, what are the odds if I think it?
Yeah.
That it would actually happen.
Very interesting.
It's kind of creepy. Is it my turn?
It is your turn. So this was probably easier with Jeremy because then you can just like, there was one person that rattled off all the questions. You didn't have to keep track of whose turn it was.
Yeah, I just wrote a bunch. And to be fair, a lot of the ones I asked him were not like spooky.
Right.
Okay. Your soul gets trapped inside a jack-o'-lantern.
Ooh, okay.
What design does your jack-o'-lantern have to entice somebody to come and light the fire that will release you?
God, that's a freaking good question. You know, what came to mind is like a very like woodland enchanted forest theme. Like you have like the ferns. Big forest. Yeah. And ferns and like little toadstools. And there's like a big moon over in the corner, like a big crescent moon that you want to illuminate.
Cute. I would light that candle. 10 out of 10.
And then I pop out and I'm like, wah.
Oh, shoot. Sorry. I accidentally opened Peacock. Trying to watch movies while we podcast.
That's always fun.
Oh, okay.
What would your jack-o'-lantern look like?
Mine would be an oak tree theme. Mm. Lots of acorns, but it would be the kind where it's like carved, the skin really thin, but not cut all the way through. So very like a luminary lantern feeling. So that the desire to see how things would shine through the skin would be completely irresistible. There's no way I'm not getting set free.
I would absolutely fall for that. Also, I'd be like, oh, acorns, light.
Cute.
It's so cute. That's very fall themed too. So you could get all the people that like don't love Halloween too.
I have a little acorn sitting next to me. So I was like, ooh.
So on the walk that I take our dog on a lot, there's like a whole row of oak trees and they always drop acorns. And I always think of you when I pass them.
Well, thanks.
You're welcome.
They love acorns. They're just so cute. Can't handle it.
So this one's a little dark.
Okay.
Ready?
Yes.
But it was one of those that came up on Google that I was like, ooh, that's too good of a question to pass up.
Ooh, okay.
Do you have a hunch about your own death?
Ooh, I had a feeling that's where you were going with this. Okay, no, but I have a hunch that I died in a vehicular style accident in my most previous life.
Oh, really?
Because that has been a huge fear of mine for such a long time. I'm really annoying to drive with, I'm sure, because I'm just like, you're going too fast, you're getting too close with anybody, no matter who I'm driving with. I'm always like, ew!
That could also be because you had a little red truck that had like, didn't it have like no rear view mirror and like one side mirror?
She had one side mirror on the driver's side, which is legal in Montana. Thank you very much.
And you drove it in Denver, which is terrifying to me.
Yeah, I only drove her in Denver once, and then my mom and my partner made me get a new car.
I'm glad they did.
R.I.P. Lolita, that's a good way to die. There was a love note from you on the visor, the passenger side visor. That you wrote in Sharpie one day, and I can quote it to you because I can see it perfectly in my third eye, because that's what hangs out in the photo album of my brain.
A love note for me?
Yes. It says, I can't believe I've never written on a moving vehicle before. This is amazing. And then it was Shale, the way you used to sign your name in high school with like hearts and stars and all sorts of doodles around it. And then
I do not have any recollection of that.
You
but that's
don't?
So sweet.
You started the trend. And then from then on, anyone I like deeply cared about, I would let write on the like visor of my screen.
Oh my gosh, that's so
sweet. So the inside of Lolita had all
these. It gives me like teary eyes. I don't know why that's so nice.
So cute. Lolita was definitely haunted.
Yeah, that girl
10 out of 10 haunted vehicle. And then I gave her to NPR and let them crush her into a cube. I probably am being haunted by my truck. Oh, sad. R.I.P.
Anyhoozle, so you died in a vehicular accident.
Oh, yes. I think so. I've spoken with some people who have semi-confirmed this notion, but we don't have to get too overly woo today. I think on a more
medical is here for note, overly woo.
Probably, I think it's probably more likely that my brain will go ahead and just decide to not work one day.
Okay.
Which is kind of just sad and morbid, but I get these weird ocular migraines and I don't know. My odds aren't great there.
That's like my family. They're all riddled with heart disease. And I'm like on this mission to prove that I'm going to be the one that doesn't die of heart disease, which I don't know why, because like, obviously anybody that would know about it is going to be dead before me, but I'm just like adamant that I'm gonna be like, I'm the one in this lineage not going to die of heart disease. So I'm going to eat vegetarian and I'm going to run all the time.
Yes. I love that. It's good motivation to take care of yourself in really good, lovely ways.
Absolutely. Also, did you ever, I don't know, I think it was you that I was talking to about this, but were you one of those that was like convinced that you were going to die young?
Yeah. But you know why? You know why? I genuinely know the answer to this. It's because we had so many assemblies as children about like car accidents, about like we had multiple people who came, or like school shootings. Like we've grown up in this age where we were experiencing like that kind of collective trauma.
That's a really interesting thought, and I can't believe I've never even thought of that.
So it was more, that's like the logical reason for why I think I used to feel that way.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Because I used to be one of those people that was like, I'm absolutely convinced that I won't make it past like 25. And then I got to 25 and I was like, oh, cool. Like, I'm still here.
Yay. I mean, like depression, mental health is probably a part of that too. Like just like we've gone through this big cultural shift, I think, and taking things more seriously.
Yeah.
But I feel like in the time that we were young and impressionable, it was all still very taboo to talk about, but yeah, we were also being like, do you remember when we had to pretend to die in a car accident at school? Like, do you remember that assembly? Like, that was kind of traumatizing.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. But also like, I don't know. It's hard. It's hard to pinpoint it, but I feel like I've experienced enough of those like after school specialty type things that it just became ingrained that it was going to happen. I also used to be so irrationally afraid of being kidnapped. Like,
yeah,
like I was convinced that because I slept in the front room of our rental house in Michigan and my parents were in the back room, that it was like, that was it. That was the golden ticket to being kidnapped, was not having a bedroom next to anybody else.
Yeah. I do feel like our parents that like grew up in the 80s were like really traumatized by kidnapping and then like, yeah, rejected like, that onto us. Danger,
like, yeah. Major. What about you? Do you have a suspicion?
Or is it just the defying
heart disease, which is a good mission? Like,
that's, yeah, cool. I think that's it. I also think part of me was like worried about dying young all the time because I was such a dreamer, you know, and I was always like, I have to do so much with my life that I just don't feel like I'll have enough time to complete it all, you know?
Yes.
So I think that was part of it too. But a hunch about my own death. For some reason, I do feel like it'll just be like a peaceful old age thing. And I don't know if that's just like my brain just being like complete opposite of the way I was when I was a kid, but I've never felt like I'm going to die in a traumatic way or anything like that. And even when I was worried about dying young, I didn't feel like it would be like in a traumatic way. So yeah. I don't know.
It's a head scratcher. It's an interesting one to ask.
Yeah. There was also another question that was asked that I thought was interesting too, where it's like, would you rather know the date that you are going to die, or would you rather know how you're going to die? If you had to choose between the two.
If I have to choose, I would rather know how.
Really?
Yeah, because I still think knowing enough, like, and contemplating your own mortality enough, I think would be a greater inspiration to like knock out your bucket list or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be a lot easier to live just an intentional, like, present life if I didn't have like a ticking clock in the back of my head. It also kind of, that question reminds me of the Adam Project a little bit. Have you watched that?
Uh-uh.
On Netflix. It's really cute and good and like one of the better like time travel-y sci-fi movies I've seen in a while. It's just, the writing's fabulous. It's Ryan Reynolds and Jennifer Garner. It's,
oh, so okay, I know what you're talking about now. Yeah.
Mark Ruffalo.
I love him.
So no spoilers, but that concept is a large question that is answered. Okay. And I mean the person chooses not to know. They're like, I don't, like, don't tell me anything. Like, you can't tell me.
Yeah.
Because that's not how this works. So obviously I think my real answer would be I would choose to not know, but if I have to know, I would rather know how.
Yeah. I go back and forth on it all the time of like I don't think I'd want to know how I die for some reason. Like, we can leave that up to surprise. But I always feel like I might want to know when, because I do think like ego gets in the way for us in this life, where all of us know that we're going to die. Like, it's inevitable.
Totally.
Right? All of us know, but for some reason we all also live our life as though it's not going to happen. We're going to be the one that makes it out. And I feel like if you had like a timestamp, you're like, okay, December 23rd at 2070, you're going to die. Like, then you know you have like a finite timeline, right? Where like,
okay, so I have a follow-up question.
Okay.
To that response then, which is, like, what does that last day feel like for you then? Like, are you living in pure abject terror all day, or have you had enough time to come to terms with it? Like, what is that? What's that coping grief process look like on the day of your death?
I guess that's a scenario comment. Cause like it could be one of the, it depends on like when you're told, I guess, when your day is going to come, right? Cause if I was told today, hey, tomorrow is your last day, then I think I'd be feeling a lot more grief. But if I'm like, oh, you're going to die when you're 80. Okay. Then yeah, I've got like a couple of decades to, you know, come to terms with it. But I think if it's the latter, I think I would definitely have a feeling of acceptance and be like, okay, cool. I've done what I wanted to do. Hopefully because of that, like, finality, and I know I'm like not doing stuff that makes me miserable, and I'm like living intentionally more so because I know of the date. But I think if I were to find out, yeah, you're gonna die tomorrow, I'd be like, well, shit. That was kind of out of the blue.
Well, that was rude.
But that is what's interesting, because even though we don't know, we know that that's a possibility, right? Like, we know totally. It's a possibility, but without like being told exactly, we live as though it's not a possibility. It's such an interesting thing our brain does.
Yeah, no, it's a good one. It's a good brain tickler.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm gonna lighten it up. Okay, I'm gonna bring it dark one more time, because I have a final thought here, but then I'm going to lighten it up.
Okay.
It almost makes me feel like, I think there's a real like sweetness in the way like people tend to celebrate the end of a familiar or a pet's life, where it's okay. Like your last day is going to be your best. Like you get every snack you want. I'm going to take you to all of your favorite places, all of your favorite people. Like, here's your favorite toys. Here's your favorite blanket. You're just going to experience this like pure 100% day of just love,
yep,
and joy. And like, if it can be like that, then tell me the date, that's fine,
right? But you know what's so funny is I always think about that, and I'm like, as much as that must be the best day ever, I'm like, I hope they also don't have like a raging stomach ache because they just ate everything that they're not supposed to, you know.
Be like, oh yeah, maybe you don't want to die having to poop. All right, well, that lightened it in a way I wasn't expecting it to, so that's great. You can be a part of any ghost busting paranormal investigating team. Whose team are you on?
You know, I think I just have to go with the Ghost Adventures crew.
Okay, I knew you were going to say that.
Just because they're so fucking chaotic. Like, yeah. I think that's, like, I think it would be so insane with them because they just wig out all of the time. Because I feel like so many other, like, ghost hunting crews are so in the mentality of like, we have to debunk whether or not this is really paranormal, and they get all like super serious and scientific about it, which I appreciate. But Ghost Adventures is like, holy fuck, it just talked to us, as if they haven't seen that in like every episode, and then everybody collectively loses their mind. And I feel like I would just enjoy that. It would just make it so much more fun to be part of that kind of investigation.
Yes, 100%. So my answer to that is also a fun, silly one, but in a different way. Don't bite my foot, miss. Thank you.
Is that the monster under your bed?
Yes, it's Tilly Red. Actually, she like demon crawls like on her back along the bed frame.
I've seen that.
It's very exorcist-y. It's super creepy. And then she bites you, so it also hurts. Yay.
And then her little belly goes along.
She's so cute. I want to be a part of the Mystery Inc. team. I want to be in the Scooby Gang.
Oh, I didn't even know that was an option.
Of course it's an option.
Cheating.
Everything is an option. Well, you said fun, and I want to have the most fun experience with my ghost busting team as well, but the Ghost Adventures people would still scare the shit out of me.
Honestly, they probably would. Like, it's one of those, it reminds me of like that story when we went to the really freaky house in our hometown, you know, and
yes,
like I'm sitting there trying to be like the serious one that's like asking questions. The other person's like, are you going to haunt us? Like trying to provoke it. And I'm like, stop provoking it. That's how we get haunted. And they absolutely provoke everything that they can. So I'd be like, hey, cool. I just have to live with the fact that I'm permanently going to be like possessed by something because of you all.
Yes, absolutely. Ooh, if you could possess a living individual, someone who's currently living, who would you possess?
I'm like, I want to know what's going on inside your brain and how we can like make you chill a little bit.
And then you can record a podcast episode.
Yeah.
As like just righting all of the wrongs.
Right.
And then it'll be great. It'll be great. Yeah. That's a good answer. That's a funny answer.
Thank you. And I've got the podcasting skills.
Exactly.
So you're ready. I totally know what it's like to record on Spotify. But also, I'd want like the strangest. I mean, he's had some pretty strange guests on his show, just off the wall thinkers. But I think I just really want to possess him while he's like talking to like the most off the wall person. You know, I got to keep it a little entertaining for myself.
Yeah, no, for sure. I didn't actually think of an answer to the question for myself.
I know, I'm like, you got to think of one now. You know what's and really
yours,
funny is...
And yours is like, it's opening some avenues I probably wouldn't have done. I'm like, yeah, I guess if I'm possessing you and I can control what's happening.
Right.
Interesting. I don't know that I can beat that answer.
It's always so funny because my husband, he definitely listens to Joe Rogan, but he's like, he does it where he's like, I just listen to it because I just like to hear differing opinions. He's like, I don't believe anything he says. So like, as soon as you hear that he's like listening to Joe Rogan, he feels like he has to like massively defend himself.
Yeah, that's usually a red flag. That's what we call a red flag. But also, yeah, you know, get different opinions. Different. It's not like every single person who he has as a guest is crazy.
No, like he has one of my absolute like favorite, I don't know, like mushroom scientists.
Who's, oh, like, yeah.
Changing the world when it comes to
mushrooms. That would be a fun person to possess.
A mushroom scientist?
Yeah, just, I want the, yeah. I want to possess for the knowledge. Like, I just want to like download your brain.
Right.
And then steal all your ideas.
Oh my gosh. Like if I could possess Rosemary Gladstar and get all of her herbal knowledge.
That would be a good one for you. Honestly, I guess Stephen King would probably be fun to possess for a day.
Oh my God, to know what's in his brain.
So I actually think that's my new answer because I feel like he would like get a little tickle out of it too. And then he gets a book afterwards. Like, congrats. We had a fun day, me and Steve.
That's actually a really good point. So question.
Yes.
Does a possessee? No. Possessor.
I'm talking like a very Hollywood sense when I'm talking possession.
I know, but none of us have ever asked a demon. You know, they just get expelled, right? They're like, hey, exorcised, you're gone. And sometimes the person who was possessed doesn't have any recollection of being possessed. Sometimes they do, but we've never asked the demons, how selfish of us. We're just like, get the F out and don't come back. But we've never asked them, like, do you remember the experience?
Yeah,
or do they forget it too?
What's that like on that end? That would be good. That would be a good question.
We should have a coffee talk with a demon and be like, so tell us what it's like on your end. That's actually a really cute sitcom idea.
Coffee talk with demons?
Yeah. Where you just sit down and ask demons about their experience and if they're misunderstood, like Jaws.
Yes. Oh, this cat. What time are we at? How long have we been talking?
I have no idea. It's 9:58. So we've been about an hour.
Amazing. Okay. Do you have any more questions?
Yeah. This is one that I wanted to ask you too, as a witchy writer. If you were to film a new horror movie, or write a spooky book yourself, what would the plot be?
Ooh. A spooky book. Okay, I want to combine it. I like this idea and our like collective creativity on the haunted locket. So it would be like very haunted locket that, well, I don't know. I'm like, possessing the wearer is just a little too obvious, I think. But I think wearing it allows you to communicate with her, but the communication is not in like an obvious kind of way. So you have to figure out A, what's haunting you, why you're being haunted. And then the whole goal essentially is to free her from this space that she's trapped in. So you have to like unravel the mystery of why, like who and why, and what unfinished business needs to be completed.
But you need to write this book like now.
Okay, I will.
Like, get off of here. What are we doing? Go write that book. I love that.
That wasn't a very scary answer.
But it would have like the spooky vibes to it.
Yeah. And her death has to be shrouded in some element of mystery, right? Like her life and existence is spooky. And that's what you're trying to fix as like regular old shale.
Yeah. And it could be one of those, like, what's that movie? Is it the Grudge? No. I can't remember the movie where like she is connected to a camera. The person that passed. And like he always has like the neck issues because she's like literally like sitting on his shoulders all of the time. Like you could have some super spooky elements to it.
Totally.
Doesn't mean that you like whoever is dealing with this locket has like a good experience, right? Like they're like bros.
Yeah, no, good point. Cause you're like, I need this to stop. So like, right. We've got to figure out how to free you.
Yeah.
So that I can go back to living my normal, nice, boring, peaceful life.
But it could go either way. Like you could have like a very cozy, cutesy like story about like a ghost story, or it could be absolutely terrifying. It could go either way.
Yeah. Or we'll just add like a legitimate ghost element to it and you'll also fall in love with her.
Right.
Plot twist.
I would like to see where that goes.
That could have a really tragic ending.
Everybody who's listening to this right now needs to sign an NDR. Because that's Cheyenne's new book.
You can't steal it. You can steal it. Everyone writes things differently. So many people would be given that prompt and write completely different stories.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So, I'm not mad about it. Do you have an answer for that?
I've always thought it would be really fun. And it's kind of been done, but not like to the extent that I'm thinking, but almost writing like a reverse horror story that's like inspired by the Salem witch trials.
Ooh.
Where like the witches themselves are like the true protagonist. And it's not obvious that it's the Salem witch trials. But like, you know, people being hunted and misunderstood and stuff like that. Yeah, but like towards cool. The end of the book, you realize like this is the telling of the Salem witch trials, but it's not inherently obvious from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah. I like twist ending books like that are like, she was dead the whole time.
Exactly.
I think I'm out.
I'm out too.
That's good. That was fun. I learned things. I learned things about you.
I learned things about you.
I learned that I'm less scared of mirrors than I think I am. That's cool.
We've had some healing.
This is a very cathartic episode. I hope you enjoy it. In all seriousness though, thanks for listening to our podcast, friends.
Yeah, we hope this gave you like cozy sleepover vibes. Like we're just hanging out and telling spooky stories. Ish.
You can tell I'm in a phase of life where I'm just like, and then they all lived happily ever after. Oh, but but that's okay. Sometimes we need some sunshine and rainbows.
But we are curious for all of you. If there's any questions that we asked one another that you would like to answer for yourself, because I am curious about how other people in our little collective community would answer some of these.
Oh, please do. Okay, I have one more for you.
Okay.
If you're a spirit, you have one like cool ghost power. How are you haunting? Where and how are you haunting the place you are?
I just feel like I would be the most annoying ghost because I'm like, how can I mildly inconvenience people enough to just make them go crazy? So like,
yeah, very psychological warfare.
I think I would be that ghost that like, you know, flips the breaker switch on the microwave so that you always have to redo the time.
Or that like, would be so annoying. That would drive me crazy.
Or like, unplugs the coffee machine like 5 minutes before it's supposed to go off and like do its own thing, you know, so that you wake up and there's not coffee.
That would be good.
Like, not enough to be like scary, because I don't want to be like mean and scary as a ghost. I just want to be slightly annoying to the point where you're like, I hate living with this person.
Yes. Okay. So my answer is also an answer of annoyance, because I want the power to be able to, like, I need to be able to move objects so that I can stand over your shoulder and read while you're reading. But I'm a fast reader, so I would always flip the pages as soon as I was done and never wait for you to finish.
And it would be so drive awful. You crazy. Oh my God, that would be so annoying.
It would be so good. So good. That would entertain me forever, because not only would I get to be entertained by whatever you're reading, but your frustration would get sillier and sillier for me. And then when you get fed up and throw the book on the floor, I still have the power to turn pages so I can go ahead and just finish it.
That's like my favorite answer today. That was a good one.
That's a good one. So, do you have a permission slip for people for the summer?
That's a good one. It's kind of the first summer that like COVID isn't looming.
That's true. And that's been a factor of the entire existence of this podcast. Things feel a little brighter.
That is true. So I guess enjoy all of the things that the summer has to offer. If you're able to go to concerts, or if things are more open, just enjoy all the things that we used to take for granted, right? That's my kind of permission slip.
I like that. I like that permission slip. I give you permission to take breaks from what you need to take breaks from.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And have fun. Have a fun, sexy summer, everyone.
Fun, sexy summer. Happy end of season 3. We will see you back again in the fall for season 4.
I cannot wait. I love you, witches. Cheers.
Love you, babes.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Ouija Boards and Midnight Marks. If you're having a witching good time, we hope you'll help us to grow this little coven. You all know it's us against AI in this algorithm world, so please help us out. Please like, rate, and subscribe anywhere you're listening to us. Also, we want to connect with our spooky Marg-loving friends out there, so please like and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Links for those profiles will be in the show notes. And hey, be sure to tell us what you're drinking tonight. We love you all so much, witches. Cheers.